Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's good to see all of you. So I've just in the natural progress of things, been hanging out in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is a fascinating chapter. But there's so many little things you can pull out of John chapter 6 that minister. And this is a word that ministered to me, has ministered to me before. And the Lord just spoke again. That place, I think it's 1 Timothy 2:5, where it says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. That's real significant because Jesus became man. We in humanity get to have fellowship with the Father, and because Jesus does. And so we're there in him. And the scripture that Bracken read, so what I'm hoping to do today is provoke your holy imagination. There's a lot of enchanting things that Jesus says in this chapter about he being the bread that came down from heaven, being the bread of God, being the bread that gives life, not just life, but participation in the life of God through him. That's what eternal life is. Again, go back and read John chapter 17. Eternal life is our forever, beginning the moment we become Christians, participation in the life of God through Christ. That's eternal life. You know, one of the things you do as a teacher, you're always probing for language, always probing for language to share. And so that's the best explanation, the funnest explanation that I've come up with yet, to be able to explain what eternal life is, a participation in the life of God through Christ. And so he says in verse 46 that Bracken read, not that any man, well, let me just read the verse before. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. In other words, he's saying to them, because they were not believing, and Jesus said, it doesn't surprise me that you're not believing because your heart's not open. But the only way for every person who believes is because God's been teaching them, stirring something up in them, and they've embraced it. The Father has. And so he says, not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Again, that's interesting that Jesus said, no one has seen the Father except the one who came from God. He has seen the Father. The John 1:18 scripture, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has explained him. And we think that, and just in terms of the life that Jesus lived on earth, but think of it also in terms of your personal relationship with God. And think in terms of what eternal life is. Eternal life is our participation in the life of God, the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, through Christ. This is Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Well, I'll just start verse 26 as Jesus is praying. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in your sight. All things, Jesus said, have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows, and the word know there is the word to experience, to really know. No one knows the Son, and it has the idea of knowing about, but also knowing experientially. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. No one has seen the Father except the Son, John 6. No one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him to. There's one mediator, again, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So here's what I want where your imagination to be tweaked. Because this would be true just here as you're sitting where you're sitting. But I think of it in terms of when I'm with him, alone with him, even more so. We can apply it to both as we live in the marketplace, as we are alone with him in the secret place, is that it's not just that you get to have a relationship with the Father because you're in Christ. Jesus reveals to you how he sees the Father. Jesus experiences, he reveals to you his experience of the Father. Now think about that. Because most of the time, when we spend time with the Lord or in his word, we're thinking, okay, you're kind of here and I'm trying to draw something from you. Like something's going to impact me because like there's this otherness and I'm trying to get revelation of this otherness. And I know that we are other, but we're also in union. There's this mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so as Jesus mediates us to the Father, we're presented to the Father in Christ. So the Father loves me and sees me in Christ. Amen? That's why there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It's got nothing to do with what you might do or don't do. If you're in Christ, he can't condemn you because he can't condemn Jesus. And so if you've blown it and you're carrying around condemnation, you know that's from the devil. Yeah, but if I don't feel guilty, how am I going to change? That's just not the way God transforms. Has it worked before? Has your guilt made you stop permanently? No. So he mediates us to the Father. But he also mediates the Father to us. And that just blows my mind. That just fascinates me. Because I'm not trying to glean otherness. I get to participate in seeing him as Jesus sees him. And Jesus wants to share with me, partake, so that I can partake his experience with and of the Father. Now, can you imagine how enchanting, how fascinating, how mind-blowing that is? If you understand that, one of the things you won't struggle with is hearing, or again, feeling somehow separated. How can you be separated if you're in Christ and ever feel separated? I don't mean separated like you're going to go to hell, but there's just a separation. Well, I know that when I sin, we're separated. No, you're not. Your consciousness of him may get dulled because of the warfare. Therefore, it's not worth it, is it? You can't practice his presence and practice the presence of sin at the same time. But again, like in the garden, he didn't abandon you. We sort of just get distracted. So you understand, Jesus, what his priority isn't about counting what you get right and what you get wrong. What his priority is transform you into his experience in his life. That's his. So it really is none of your business how he does that. And you don't get to dictate theology to him because he doesn't count. He transforms. But I want you, the rest of the day, open your mind to the fact that Jesus, and if you spend some time with him without distractions around, but not just then, but even in your day, as you're driving in your car, I want you, and when you come to receive Eucharist, I want you to sink into the reality that you have Jesus' relationship with the Father. And the one who's seen the Father wants to show him to you. You get to see what he sees. And he, who's the only one who knows the Father, is going to make known to you what he knows about the Father. That's the kind of intimacy. That's the kind of dance that you've been invited into. It's transformative in terms of disposition and how you experience and view reality in life. I was talking to Donna and Nancy and Sandra yesterday about how strange it is the way God, in this whole process of deciding whether I was going to go to Africa or not, that the Lord gave me both options. As if both options were his will for me. And he spoke dramatically this way. And then he spoke dramatically this way. And so what God told me twice I asked him originally, and then he told me, and I forgot about that because it just didn't seem acute enough. And the day I made the decision, he said, you do what you want to do. That'll be the right decision. It would have been the right decision to go, and it was the right decision to stay. That's all part of this whole intimate thing. It is different, isn't it? His ways aren't our ways. By saying that, I'm not meaning that emotionally I prefer just to stay here. I could have more fun here. I would rather have gone there. But in light of what was going on, it was right for me to say, I'm staying here. And so I know that was the right decision. But Jesus revealed to me in his heart, the heart of the Father. But beyond that, Psalm 27, where David said, this one thing I ask that I shall seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold his beauty and inquire of him. I think that's a better description. That there's just this revealing of the beauty of the Father that Jesus experiences. Can you imagine the fellowship that the Father and the Holy Spirit and Christ experience? We're included. That's eternal life. You carry that with you at all times. Your participation in the life of God through Christ. In fellowship and in how you behave. You say, I'm just trying hard to get closer to God. Too late. Jesus has already taken care of that one for you. Open your eyes and behold. Okay. I just think that's awesome. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.